I just have to clear the air. I'm taking over this. I'm taking over this.
What are you doing?
Right before we this it's a mutiny. Clips out. Right before.
I will turn this episode around. I swear to God.
Chain him up now.
Right before we went live, we do. You know, we chat a little bit. We catch up, and then we do this thing where we just kind of make sure that our mics are working, and we see it on Audacity. And Jake calls out each person. Did you call John Johnny?
Yeah, I did.
John, have you ever gone by Johnny in your entire life?
No, I've actually hurt people that have tried.
Well, see, that's why I'm home and he's at his house, so he can't do that. Yeah.
John's like, now I need to kill someone.
Tired. John's like, where are the squirrels?
I got a clear shot of my neighbor. Give me a second.
It's funny because I said Kelly, and then I said Timmy, and then it just kind of, it rhymed, you know. Kelly, Timmy, Johnny.
Marky.
Yeah, Marky. Yeah. I didn't say Marky. That didn't fit.
That'd be weird.
Yeah, you started with my name normally, and then just, you know, went normal. But now with Johnny, you'd be like, Johnny boy.
Johnny boy. So
I invited you to my wedding. You're my family. How could you do this to me?
So we're a little giddy because we haven't recorded in a few weeks. Actually, it has been some time for the boys to sit around and record. Yeah. It's my fault. I had another child. So
selfish.
Had to take some time off. She's only 3 weeks old, man. I just couldn't fit it in. I'm sorry.
Yeah, selfish child took Pathfinder away from us right when the country was plunging into fascism and the economy was going into crumbling.
3 weeks old, still doesn't have a job.
I'm like, sweetheart, listen. I gotta record.
Don't worry. Thanks to dear leader, she'll have a nice job in either a coal mine or a shoe factory.
Or you can dream big and go for the textile mills.
Look, dearest, your tiny hands can get into those machines, okay?
Uh-huh. You gotta clean the bullet rounds when they're going out the factory, all right?
Stripping war drones for parts with their tiny hands.
Man, I can envision this dystopian future already.
It's kind of here, man. It's kind of here.
It basically is. It's kind of here.
So now what ends up happening when you have a child is that you don't get much sleep, right? You know, there's many nights in the past few weeks that I've been up till like 3, and then, you know, then she wakes up another 2 or 3 hours. You know, it happens. But what the fun part about not having much sleep is the weird dreams you get. I write a list.
Nice.
Okay, so I try to do a thing where, like, you know how, like, they say if you want to, like, lucid dream, you have to, like, record your dreams and, like, write them down so you can kind of, like, kind of go back to it. There's a weird method to it all.
Science Versus did a thing on it. I could talk to you about it later.
Okay, sure.
That method has a very low success rate.
I'm sure it does, yeah. I've lucid dreamed a few times, but, like, apparently, but I just write these down because they're interesting.
But do you know what the secret is, Jake? Do you want to know what the secret is?
Well, you can tell me it now if it takes two sentences.
It is. Sure. It's very
drugs.
It's very quick.
I was about to say acid.
It's acid.
If it's not drugs, I don't want it.
You have to wake up in the middle of your dream,
uh-huh,
and tell yourself in your mind when you wake up, I'm about to go into a dream. You keep repeating that. I'm about to go into a dream. I'm about to go back into a dream. And you can lose, and you'll have a higher success rate of lucid dreaming.
Okay, well.
So, like, if you don't have a baby to wake you up every 3 hours, people set alarms to wake themselves up.
Of course, of course. Yeah.
But, yeah, but, I mean, baby works.
Yeah, my alarm just poops, and then I get a... change the alarm's diaper every time. The funny thing about this is that, so I wrote down notes about what some of these dreams are. Like, I woke up and immediately wrote down whatever I was, like, thinking, whatever I could image in my head. Mm-hmm. The issue is, what's funny about this is that I read these notes and they don't mean a fucking thing to me.
Yeah,
of course not.
And there's only one that actually made any sense and that I have any recollection of. But I want to read these to you because they're hilarious. Okay. So, the first one is Spider-Man Mission Indestructible Space with Tim.
Hey!
I don't know why. That's the only one I remember. That's the only one I remember in which, Tim, you and I were fighting somebody in space, and the space station was being, like, destroyed, and we were both Spider-Mans.
Oh, you were Spider-Man's. I thought it was like Tim partnering up with Spider-Man.
No. It was like the you know, across the universe, like it kind of okay. thing. Yeah.
On Earth 580. Here's Tim.
You know what? It was I woke up and I was just like, that was a cool ass dream. The next one is hired as an assassin to take out someone at a house party. The next one is Pokemon card game tournament with total randoms in a mall. The next one is aquarium / discovery zone with family, in parentheses, Coraline thing.
So like the other mother sort of thing?
I don't know. That's the point of this.
Did you
know.
Have button eyes?
I don't know. That's the funny thing about... and then another one is anti-heroes. TED talk about anti-heroes. I have no idea what the fuck that means. The only one that has any connection is the fact that Spider-Man thing might be because I've been playing a lot of Marvel Rivals, and I think that's the only one that has any foundation in something right now.
So, do you have more, Jake?
That's all that I have right now. Okay, but I'm sure I'll text you some weird dreams later.
I did the exact same thing last year.
Oh, yes.
Because I was like, why does this feel like deja vu? And I just scrolled through my notes and I found it. I did it like three times. All right, man, the spelling is awful. It says we were at war with Russia. It was heated back and forth. Hostage. No, wow. I don't know what the rest of those words are. And the USA was trying to womanate the target.
Womanate?
whatever that means.
Yeah. So wait, when are you writing this down? How come it's so badly spelled? Did I miss something?
This is because he was delirious.
I just woke up from the dream. I just woke up from the dream and I grabbed my phone and started typing.
Okay.
All right, so here's the next one. I was in a work meeting. We had people from Sweden with us. One of my coworkers' grandma passed away while in the meeting, and we took time to honor her life. Okay.
Okay. That's not fairly outlandish. It's just
Michael's grandpa. Coworker Michael. Who are you? Okay. But, Michael's grandpa was sad, but he got money, which is very nice.
Hashtag worth.
Oh, this is actually a clearly spelled one. Was on a set for an episode of Drake and Josh. It was a basketball themed episode. There was a star player that was going to help out. It was interesting to see the filming process, the camera being so close to some of the actors and how they did effects, like throwing confetti in front of the camera. All right.
Okay. That's what I got to say to that. Okay.
Oh, wow. Okay, this is probably why I stopped recording my dreams. This is the last one I recorded. We were running from an eldritch being. There was different sea beings of increasing size, personality, and deadliness. With increasing size correlating to deadliness, they were bringing about the end of the world, but could be stopped.
Your dreams were tired of you prying into the other world.
Yeah, this is the dream, Tim. That was reality.
I wake up, the eldritch beings.
I've definitely had weird dreams where things like try to scare me, but I'm like maybe a little too irrational in the dream, and I'm like, this isn't real. And they don't seem to like
the elder toward you. You are fake news.
Yeah, they don't seem to like it when I tell them that I'm dreaming, and I know it, and I think they're stupid, but.
Oh man, I found my things from God, I don't know, from 2019 when I tried doing this, and it just turned into like try right and then going, nope, I'm tired, I can't do this anymore. So it's like, so the text just starts sloping and I'm like, yeah, I'm done. Because I tried to, like, as soon as I woke up first thing in the morning and just tried to write what I remember, and it just got so difficult. And I'm just seeing one that's just like, some building at home, White Marsh, four-wheeler now building a fort on the edge, entered a tournament of cards, and then got placed 6999 out of 6999. And I'm like, nice. What does this mean? I'm like, that makes no sense.
I feel like the kid who, like, didn't hear that there was a homework assignment, and then, like... showed up to class and everybody else did the essay. I've never done this.
I tried it, but it never worked, like, for me, because it was just like, oh, I want a lucid dream, and I tried doing this whole thing, and I'm like, nah, this, it's not doing
that. Yeah, it doesn't work.
What's the appeal to lucid dreaming?
You control your dreams.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah,
haven't you heard Troy LaValle talk about his lucid dreaming experience?
I would have sex with so many people. But I mean, like, then you could be like, I want to fly, and then you could just start flying.
Yeah, yeah, it's complete control over it, because you can do anything you want in your dreams, and that's like manifesting it. Yeah,
so. It's like playing GTA.
It's like, I just don't dream, and whenever I do, it's always about zombies, which I guess that would technically be fun to lucid dream. But I'm usually murdering zombies already, so.
In your real life?
No, in my dreams.
Oh, it's a dream.
I feel like you can. Kelly is the version of Patrick Starr when SpongeBob's like, you can do anything you want. He's like, yeah. Yeah. I'm already doing it.
Yeah, Tim, Hassie's just a cover for the Umbrella Corporation under Annapolis.
Wow, I don't really dream.
Yeah.
See, wow. I don't understand how people don't.
Yeah,
like,
I'm
have
John.
Wild ones.
I barely dream.
Some people can. Yeah, I've heard other people that just have trouble. Like, it's just like, either they dream and just don't remember, which is probably what happens. It's like, as soon as you wake up, you're like, okay, done. Like, I forgot what the hell happened. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I forgot about this one. What, fighting vampires. At a NASCAR rally. I don't know why.
NASCAR rally.
It says, started as a NASCAR racing in Dover. It was nighttime, and then went to store. There was vampires, and then fought the vampires, escaped, and then encountered werewolves. Oh, dream ends. So, I need to make a movie on that one, actually.
Yeah, that's a fun one. That seems like one of those movies, like, like Dale and Tucker, like,
oh, yeah.
That's
I don't even like NASCAR.
You know, right. I feel like rednecks vampires is an underrepresented
niche
of vampire. Vampirism.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. What human would waste their life driving on a track 500 times? Only the immortals would do it.
But the problem is, you would have to do it at night. So
NASCAR night would be kind of.
They're all suited up.
Yeah, well, depending on which one you do, because, like, there was, I think What We Do in the Shadows tried that. They were like, yeah, no, you just wear this full suit, and you're fine, and I saw it in Blade.
Oh,
and
God.
And they tried, and they immediately catch on fire, like, oh, God, it didn't work, just go back in.
Oh, my God.
What We Do in the Shadows is some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in my life.
I have wanted to watch that show, I just never gotten around to it.
I mean, anything with Matthew Berry, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, it's Matthew Berry.
Anything with him is gold.
Yeah.
Anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Matt Berry, there he is. Yeah, he was in IT Crowd.
He was in IT Crowd. Yeah. He was in, there was an older British show called Snuffbox that was like a skit show almost. So, you know, it was absurd British humor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's extremely funny in the British sense. He always plays like the really dumb guy who has like so much charisma,
and his weird inflections on every word.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe in this game of Pathfinder, I'll cast somebody as Matt Berry. Maybe
that man better be a bard.
Something gotta be someone fun.
Because actually,
he's got to be a vampire. It's right there.
There you go.
Well, so the fine thing also, just to track Matt Berry, very good singer too. Like,
oh, I believe it. I believe
he
that,
released.
Yeah.
He has several albums actually.
So. Oh, huh.
Yeah. Give him.
Did
a
not
listen.
Know. So the end of last episode. Who wants to recap what happened at the very end of last episode? Since it's been a few weeks, I want to see where you guys are, what you remember.
Oh, I've not forgotten anything.
Benson. Oh, I
Benson.
Remember.
I remember.
Dirty little secret.
Benson. You guys literally never ask anything about Benson's life. You just expect him to take hits for you. It's like, oh, you keep this secret from us? No, you just don't care.
Hey, Benson, what's your love life?
Oh, man. I didn't realize we were hurting Benson's feelings.
This whole time.
I really don't think he gives a shit.
I blame Garn. I blame Garn for not asking Benson more about his life.
Yes. Well, speaking of which, what you didn't know is that Garn was there the whole time. He's just short, so he just went in the back room saw this
something
lady
tells me they wouldn't let the
Benson.
Dwarf into this fancy elf club.
It's just Garn, and he only has a loincloth on.
No. Canonically, I have a shirt that says, like, I love my girlfriend, I think.
Yes, I love my girlfriend.
And a loincloth.
Yeah.
I'm working my way up.
Actually, it's like a triple XL shirt, so you don't need the loincloth anymore.
I was about to say, every episode you get a new piece of clothing. It's like, why are you waiting so long? Your pants.
But you got those clothes, like, in the morning, and you're at the nightclub still wearing them.
I asked for money to buy clothes, and Kezra threw me in an I love my girlfriend shirt and said, here.
No, didn't he, like, say, no, take whatever's in this guy's locker or something?
Yeah.
He said, here, take the shirt.
That's what he had. Well, let's go to Imagination Land really quick.
Oh, just now? How many episodes? We're going there now?
Pathfinder is real, goddammit.
We take a trip weekly. It's just, you know, the listeners themselves are going into Imagination Land, where it's more of a movie instead of a interactive experience between all of us. So we open up on a dark bar in Riddleport called the Ugly Pig. A bard prepares the stage for a performance that she's been doing for a week and a half so far. The red-haired half-elf has become used to the crowd her shows have been attracting so far. Her eye is drawn to an armored man who sits at the most exclusive table every night, but spends every show still as a statue. He stays no longer and no less each night. Overcome with her growing curiosity, she decides to walk up to the strange man with two bowls of the barley stew and plops one in front of him. Hungry? She says with a smile, looking down at him.
Thank you, but I'm fine right now.
Benson quickly answers and puts his gaze back on the tavern door. Oh, come on, eat it. I'm the minstrel in this pub, so I can get whatever food I want for free. I've noticed you here every night. Let me treat you. I'm curious to get to know the dangerous-looking man with his armor and the sword he pretends not to grasp under the table every night. Benson looks up at her, can't hide his smile, realizing he might have been a bit too obvious with it.
I haven't been the only dangerous-looking man in the crowd. What makes you curious about me?
Dangerous men don't frequent my shows stone-cold sober. She raises an eyebrow at him. Benson grabs the bowl.
Is that strange to you?
You pay for the best table, never buy food or drink, and tip generously regardless.
And that disturbs you?
No, far from it. You interest me. Who are you looking for?
No one.
I don't believe you. I see you eyeing the front door without remorse. I'm a performer, and I can feel when people aren't looking at me. What are you? A bounty hunter? Ooh, or a man out for revenge, perhaps? Mm-hmm. Before he can acknowledge her question, Benson sees the man at the table next to him stand up abruptly. His fine purple velvet robes and gold rings give away his occupation, a merchant, before his face gives away his identity. Nicholas Skutnik, an infamous and shady merchant. As the merchant begins to leave, he makes eye contact with Benson and takes two steps to run for the door. Benson runs forward and over a table, grabbing the back collar of his shirt. But as he pulls the man closer to him, the merchant twists, plunging a dagger into Benson's shoulder. Benson lets out a sharp intake of breath, looks at the blood pouring out his shoulder, and turns back to say,
"You will pay for this."
Benson flinches from it, barely lets go long enough for this criminal to slither out of his grasp. Two of the man's mercs bully Benson from pursuing right away. The target begins running for the door, before a short stool is thrown by Poppy across the room. He becomes entangled in his own legs and the piece of furniture, throwing himself to the ground with a thud. Poof! With the wind knocked out of him, he lies there, trying to catch his breath. Benson, who took out a shield, slams the face on one of the mercs, the teeth flying across the room and boop into someone's soup. The other assailant tries to run after his boss, but Benson grabs him by the waist and suplexes him, cracking the chair he was just sitting in to pieces. Benson goes up and grabs Nicholas by the collar. The merchant's face grows pale as he struggles to free his garment from Benson's grip, but is unsuccessful. Please, let me go. We can talk about this. I can pay it all back.
It's too late for that.
Benson says this as he drags the flailing man to the back of the bar, slamming him through the back door. It's just a misunderstanding. You've got to listen to me for a second. The police of the merchant begin attracting guards.
Be quiet,
says Benson, but the man persists. He's going to kill me! Help! Benson cracks his neck out of frustration.
Fine. Looks like I'll have to make you.
He says this, throwing him to the ground and slamming the ridge of his shield into the man's face. As Poppy rushes out of the bar, she sees and hears the crack of his jaw as the cries of this man go silent. Although life was still in the man's eyes, all Poppy could see was fear. She stood back as the guards swarmed around to restrain him and stop the encounter. Her eyes widened as she saw Benson pull a piece of paper from his pocket. The lead guard takes and reads the missive, and then motions for the guards to be on their way. Benson waits no time to begin hog-tying Nicholas. The pit in her stomach could not overpower the burdening question she felt in her chest. What did he do?
He stole hundreds of bushels of grain, donated by the Church of Iomide to help feed outlying towns.
Benson says all this while removing the fine jewelry from the man's body.
He took a charity meant for starving children and bought himself treasures.
Does what you're doing now make up for what he's done?
No. 14 starved to death.
Is it necessary to do this so publicly? She says this, looking around at the onlookers that have now obviously gathered at the scene.
If I don't, the ones we haven't caught won't hear what Iomide does to traitors.
Poppy, realizing this is some sort of divine justice, relents. Fine. Bring him inside. We can lock him up in a closet in the meantime. Next, we see Benson sitting himself at the table, removing pieces of his armor. Poppy comes by with some bandages to dress his wounds. Benson, with his hand over his shoulder wound, says,
That won't be necessary.
Poppy moves the hand aside and says, Calm down, hero. You got a pretty nasty stab wound there, and we'll need to make sure you don't get an infection. Benson lets her fix him up and cleans his hair of food debris that got in it. She takes a piece of chicken from his hair and throws it into the trash. So, champion, where are you off to next?
Wherever the inheritor leads me.
With nowhere to go yet, maybe you have time to tell me a few tales. Benson looks at his shoulder, still clearly needs some healing and rest from the stab wound. His face turns back toward her.
I suppose I could, for a little while.
With that, blackout. And the next thing we see is those two kissing behind the curtain at the tavern.
Pretty sure Elk's there too, just like, oh, dipping out. Because it was like, yeah, because if I remember, you're like, yeah, yeah, and then she just kisses him in front of you. I'm like, oh.
No, well, good, you have to stay.
So Poppy pulls herself off of Benson after this passionate kiss, and she looks at you and she goes, Where the hell have you been?
Away. Poppy, what the hell are you doing in the city?
I had a gig.
Okay. You need to get out of this city. We are hunting slavers.
Place seems fine to me.
Okay. And Benson just puts his head in his hands, like, clearly frustrated. All right, well, I guess I have some explaining to do then, don't I?
Please regale me with your tales. You always have them.
All right, at this point, Benson's going to walk her to the restaurant, and they're going to have a private conversation.
Oh, yeah. No, he's just going to bow up. No, he's just going to go to the bar.
Who is that lady with Benson?
Where the fuck do you come from?
Is that lipstick on his face?
He's wearing a stupid t-shirt. Like, way too long for you.
I love the idea that Elk's a stealthy, observant motherfucker, and all of a sudden this dwarf just appears like, who is that?
Is it just like any scene, just like, ah, where do you come from?
If you ever watch Bob's Burgers and Rudy, he's the kid in that show that, like, they'll be talking and Rudy will be like, oh yeah, guys, and they're like, Rudy, you're here? He's like, yeah, I've been here the whole time.
Wasn't it like it with The Office with Dwight and Angela? There's like that scene, like, she gets near him and he just goes, damn, you gotta put a bell on you.
So Poppy and Benson sit down, and Elk and Garn go off to do whatever they're gonna do. John, what does Benson tell Poppy? You did not expect her to be here, and she knows you've been off doing hero stuff.
Well, she is actually the only person that knows why Benson ended up in Breach Hill. So she doesn't need that explained. But he does explain to her where he's been, what he's been up to, the reason why he hasn't really got back in contact with her. You know, he's been kind of busy.
Yeah, a little bit.
And he'll just start regaling the story. I mean, clearly Poppy likes using Benson as for material, so.
You are, by definition, her muse, so.
Aww, that's great.
The weight of a muse is a heavy one, though.
It's true. It's true. But Benson's got feet to carry, that kind of stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Hefty hauler, motherfucker.
So as you're like talking, all of a sudden you see her like writing stuff, and you see her write down giant dragon skull, red ruby eyes, lasers? Question mark.
I didn't know what they were either.
And so she's just like, you've been all over the world. Do you tell her about the Iodara?
Yes.
Okay, so she's just like, so these gates just take you across the world?
Yes, in an instant. Depends on what key you have, though.
Wait, how many gates are there?
I'm gonna need you to promise me not to write any songs about this until this is over.
It's just such good material.
This
yeah,
song's
we're
about
kind of classified right now. I'll let you know when you can declassify it. But weren't there seven gates?
I think there were eight. I believe there were eight.
And one was destroyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Because one exploded because it was destroyed because of Dahak in there. Mm-hmm. So it was all right. Charred and the one of them was broken because the power of Dahak flew across the room and hit it and destroyed it. But yeah, I'm trying to remember how many there were. There were six. There were six of them. Mm. Yeah. There were one. Yeah, one, two, three, four, five, six. So you tell her all about the different gates and stuff like that. And she just goes, so are you?
Yeah.
Where are you going now?
I don't remember where the gate was supposed to go.
So we don't know exactly where the gate is going to go. But if we performed a meta analysis of our clues, I think it's logical that we'd end up in the Five Kingdoms, but not guaranteed. We just know that our next lead is there, but we don't know where.
Five Kings. So,
there you go. Yep.
Yeah.
You said the Five Kingdoms.
The Five.
The Five Kingdoms.
That's close enough.
There were five kings. It would make sense there would be five kingdoms, yeah.
Yeah, we believe it's our next location is going to be the Five Kings Mountains.
Oh, you'll have fun there. They know how to party, actually, Benson.
Yes, you know me, big party guy.
As I said, maybe they'll crack that bone in you that keeps you so stiff.
Maybe. my sister's been trying for years. You know, Cade Kelly and all that shit.
Oh, is she alive?
Yeah, she's... I've told you stories about her. What do you think is going to kill her?
Herself, mostly.
Yes. Yeah.
Damn. Wow, you've been all over.
Tell her about all my sick natural 20s.
Those kickflips.
Dude, gotta definitely tell the part when you were climbing up against those, what is it, the proteins? Like, in the quarry.
And... Oh, yeah, yeah. And Iomide gave you a blessing at that moment, at that moment.
Yeah. Ori, I fucking one-shot at Drake. That was pretty cool.
Teleported on top of that Drake and stabbed it right through the head.
I feel like you can get at least two songs out of that.
She's already writing three different songs down. So she, you tell her all this. I mean, it takes like hours. Hours that you guys are here. And after all this, and you guys have eaten, they keep bringing you drinks. You haven't paid for a single one. Weird. Eventually you guys just start talking about, like, you know, the small stuff, you know, the little things, and you both have a big laugh about something, and she just goes, "So no settling down for you yet, huh?"
That's... bearers of my family's cloak don't really settle down. Until they retire, or die.
Well, I'm hoping you do the former.
Me too, but it's not up to me.
Damn. I mean, I'm not retiring anytime soon either, but, you know. I think
you'll
need a break.
Couple more years than me.
Yeah, you need a break, Benson. You need a break every once in a while.
I just go where I'm needed, and when it's time for me to lay it down, I will. But it's not time yet, unfortunately.
There's like a really long, awkward silence. She's just like... When am I going to see you again?
How long are you staying here?
I think we got like 2 weeks, and then me and this trooper going to next city over, which is someplace.
Well, if you give me a rough idea of where you're going to be staying, I can come visit as frequently as I can.
That would mean the world to me, Benson.
Maybe one of these years I'll actually introduce you to my sister.
I mean, she's got to have stories too, but...
Oh, yeah.
I like writing about you, though.
Well, I'm going to be in the city for another couple of days at least. So, why don't we spend some time together then?
Absolutely. You can see when one of the other band members is like... like, kind of like summon her. She's like, "I gotta work. So, hang out, relax. I'll buy you a beer." And she goes off and grabs the loot.
Break a leg.
And so you... What do? Do you sit there and just listen to her play? She's got a few new songs that you probably haven't heard yet.
Yep. I'm just gonna sit and listen and be in her company.
All right. So, like I said, it's been hours. Elkwood and Garn, what are you guys doing?
I keep forgetting cards.
Seriously, where did you come from?
I didn't know where else to go.
He was just following us.
Kezzer's like, all sweaty in the workshop, and I don't really know anyone here.
Oh, well, that's fine. I'm sure there's something around here. We can go to a different bar.
You lead the way. I'm after all a foreigner here.
Well, of course. And might as well try to get you some clothes as well. Yeah, not to be... Don't take too much offense, but your shirt is... it's something to be acquired here.
Oh, thank you, Elkwood. Kestra, he just... I asked him for some money for some clothes. Yeah, I don't have anything. And he just threw me this and just expected me to wear it. I couldn't walk around the city naked.
Well, that's Kestra. You'll get used to it. You're lucky that you saw him with pants on, actually. Oh, no.
I did not.
Oh my god, that is so perfect.
Oh.
You're lucky you saw my pants on.
That's right. Kezra was naked, just wearing an apron.
That's true. Oh yeah. My god. So it's like he didn't have pants on. Oh.
You guys know
I was completely like, normal. Wait, he had his pants off. That doesn't make sense. He had pants on.
You guys know me so well.
Yeah.
He said he was hard at work at something, and when I looked at it, it was just a drawing of two orcs making out.
Oh,
that's his thinking time.
He's probably working on this graphic novel.
It's graphic novel.
Yes, he was telling me about that graphic novel. I hope it comes out.
No, a graphic novel, it's a trap. You'll never finish it.
Tim's okay. Face is so red.
Yeah, he is. Look at that. It's like a cherry tomato. Yeah.
At a certain point, as you guys are walking around, some dwarf lady whistles at you, Garn.
I'm a married man.
Looking for
more
ring.
Lore drops.
Yeah.
Oh, you're married.
Wow. She says, not for long.
Oh, shit.
Kind of love here in Kentargo.
Right? City of love. City of love. Kentargo.
City of endless pipe.
So you guys just carry on, and like, Garn kind of gets a little bit of a somber face, and he's like, I hope I'm still a married man. I lost contact with my family after the Scarlet Triad attacked, as you can imagine. Not much time for letter writing.
No, from what I've seen. I mean, do you have an idea of how long it's been?
I have no presence of time. Well, actually, what's today's date?
Damn, that's a great question.
What is today's date, Jake? Because I don't keep up with this.
You know, what's funny is...
the year of our Lord, 1922.
There is a calendar function in Foundry, and then during one of the updates it reset, and I have no idea what it could be now.
Oh, no.
I would say, God, what, it's been... Has it been 2 months since you guys started the adventure? Probably about three. It's probably been about 3 months.
Damn.
So let's say it's somewhere in whatever the, you know what? Let's settle it now, huh?
It's called power leveling.
Let's say, what's the Pathfinder equivalent of September?
Oh boy, you're asking the, this is like learning another language.
See, I would just call it September.
I would just call it, or like been like, I think what Elder Scrolls is like, Septum or something like that.
Yeah, I know. It is a piercing.
Oh.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Rove.
Rove. Oh. Let's say it is Rove the Fifth.
Rove the Fifth.
Oh. It's Rove the Fifth.
Holy shit, guys. My birthday's tomorrow.
Yeah, Rova. So Rova the Fifth.
Rova the Fifth.
I really like. So this is something very funny. So their calendar mimics ours. Okay, like perfectly. Literally, like 31 days, 28 days, 31 days, 30 days. Okay. It's honestly just easy, okay, for us to like not try to learn a whole fucking new calendar,
right.
And you know, but what I find funny is that Tolkien did it as well, because like Bilbo and Frodo's birthday is September the 21st, right? And I like the idea that Tolkien was just like, you know what, the calendar's perfect, I'll use that. Yeah. He had no reason at all to put that in there, but he just did. He was like, I like it. It's a good calendar.
I feel like most places that do, most games or series that do that, all they do is just change the month names. They don't even try to fuck around with.
Which is fine. Thank you.
Which
thank
is
you.
Perfectly fine.
Thank you, game developers, for just not fucking making a weird calendar.
Well, yeah, they're like, wow, this month has 6 days for some reason.
Paizo releases new APs and lore and stuff, like, the time follows our time. So
because the this one starts in the fit. Oh God, what was it? It started in the 19th year. Yeah, 4719, I think.
This adventure path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it started the year Pathfinder 2 we came out.
Exactly. So yeah. So it's the fifth of Rova, the 4719. Sorry. So yeah, fifth of Rova, 4719.
By the gods, it's been 6 months. 6 months of my life. Gone, just like that. I thought it'd only been a couple of weeks, but Apparently the stuff they had us on was pretty strong. 6 months.
Well, where... I wasn't there for that. Where are you from originally, then?
I'm from, well, from Taldor. My parents claim that I... There's a dispute whether or not I'm from the Five Kings. My mother calls it her home. My father never really felt at home. So we moved to Taldor, so I'd consider myself Taldorian.
Understood. Well, when you said they attacked, was it... Were you in a village, or...?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I was, I'm from the small town of Valdemont. Hmm. Yes, it's near the, it's in the World's Edge province, which is, you know, kind of close to five... It's close to the mountain range, that sort of thing.
Oh, of course.
Yes, so my parents immigrated there many years ago. Whether it was 247 years or 248, that's where the dispute lies. It's whether or not I had my first year of life actually in the Five Kings Mountains. My mother claims it was 248, my father 247, but I wasn't there, so... Or I was, but I don't remember.
Oh, if there's any rate, I mean... I guess, did your wife... I mean, your wife had a name, but I mean... Is there any way you could send a letter? Any close family that you might be able to?
Yes, I was thinking of sending a letter to Valdemont. I don't think the whole town would send. I think it was just a section. And I was also going to send word to my mother, who now resides in the Five Kings Mountains. After the passing of my father, she decided to go back to her familiar roots.
I see. Well, there are several... services around here. I know the Alabaster Academy or one of the other places that you can might be able to send a magical message over. I mean, for a fee, and I'm willing to give money for that. I'm not stingy.
Why, thank you. That was, I didn't want to ask, but I didn't really have any way of sending a message, so it would be much appreciated.
Yes, of course. I mean, you've done plenty for us, so it's only one way to repay you here.
I feel but, as if I mean, it's late at enough. Night. Right. Tomorrow, perhaps. Mm.
Yes, of course. Besides that, you just get a drink and leave Benson to his schmoozing.
Yes. Do you, you know her?
No. I actually heard her sing not a couple nights ago, actually. Mm. And, I mean, lovely voice, but it was kind of an entertaining idea of when I was out and she was singing about Benson and had no idea that they knew each other. That, like, that intimately, at least. Well, I do hope that works well for them, actually. I
guess he who wears a cloak has to relax every once in a while. It's not surprising he has interests outside of the Holy Crusade of Iomedae. We all have to live in this life, not just battle.
Mm. Of course.
Battling is what I do best, though.
As I saw, that was an impressive strike. You rendered the quarry almost in half.
That is a newfound power, actually. I earned my reputation as a field medic and a war priest, swinging a blade in one hand, healing the sick with the other. But those powers, and you see, kind of looks at his hands, they don't seem to work anymore. I call upon Gorum to heal. Nothing. Hmm. Nothing. But I still have my training as field medic. That'll never leave me. The old bandage and stitch and needle. That's stuff that can't be taken away. But something about your fallen comrade has changed me. And
once again, it's like the same thing with Kozer. He like tries to think about it, and he just sees him go like,
I can't remember.
I wouldn't push yourself too hard on it right now. I'm sure the message will come clear. I'm not too privy about the gods that much. To be honest, I find it a bit much at times.
Oh, yes. They demand everything for the most devout. And those who are not devout don't get anything in return. So sometimes it's best to avoid them altogether, but I threw in my lot with Gorum long ago, so continue to throw it in, I shall.
Well, I mean, just keep continuing the pace you're going, you might find the answers you seek. So are you perhaps joining us?
Oh yes, I spoke with Kezra, several nights ago, around the fire, and he indicated as much that I was welcome to carry on with you all. Seems that our paths align, so as long as they continue in that direction, I think it is wise. You have it out for the Scarlet Triad? I, for obvious reason, do as well. So, battle together we shall. I'll do my best to heal and to hurt. That is all I can promise.
That is all we need, actually. Just do what you can. That's... But from the devastation that we've seen from the Scarlet Triad, it's even this place, I mean, you arrived at a time when it's a bit more peaceful, to be honest. Before, it was under, you know, the Scarlet Triad were running along the streets, the networks were destroyed. And as I'm really just trying to remember the bear. What was the guy's name? The bloody
Barzalai Thrun.
Barzalai.
Oh yes, Barzalai Thrun.
Yes, yeah. And this ghostly image of Barzalai Thrun just was everywhere. And then we find out that it was caused by the Scarlet Triad, or parts of them. And then there was a devil summoned again, Scarlet Triad. It's just, I swear, you could. You swing a sword and hit a Scarlet Triad anywhere at this point.
They seem to get into all manner of evil. Yes. World would be better when they are rid of them.
Yes.
I'm grateful that we have your bow on this side. Seeing you use it in combat, it has been a long time since I've seen someone with skills such as yours. As a matter of fact, it's been a long while since I've seen a person change into a dragon. I don't think I've ever seen that.
He left. I was going to ask, tell me the exact story.
Yeah, I'll say, were you on drugs at the time? Like, dude, that guy totally became a dragon. I'm sorry. He's like, yes, I've never seen that before as well. Seen dragons, but certainly not a man turning into one.
How did you get the one who bears the cloak to join your team? Seems that this is of world importance if Iomadea sends her chosen blade.
What do you believe? It was circumstance, actually. It started, and it's... You go back to the... I need the sound effect of, like... back in the day, when we were back at Breach Hill, and there was a fire that started, and we all put the fire out together. Except yes. Kezra.
I think there was something about real men critting or the like.
Oh,
right?
Yes. Oh, yes. He, first thing, Benson went up, killed that imp, one strike. Crit him immediately.
With his massive penis.
Didn't even use a sword.
We were answering the call to heroes. That's what it was, right?
Yeah.
But remember also at the time there was, Adelar, get out of there. Kezra leaves.
The Ritter ran.
That was fucking funny.
Oh my god.
And Adler was like, no, I need help. He's like, god damn it. Okay, fine.
So let's go ahead and fast forward here a little bit. Garn and Elkwood, Elkwood, you being filling in Garn about everything that had happened and kind of where you're going. Garn, you're learning all about this and recanting tales of your own battles to Elkwood. At a certain point in the night, Benson is still at this tavern watching this lovely half-elf play her heart out on stage.
He will be complaining to her that this city, for some reason, there's no Rubens anywhere. All he can find are chopped cheeses.
So the one place of Rubens, and it's not this bar.
Move the venue. Come on.
So, at a certain point, though, what ends up happening when you guys go back to the Thorny Rose Tavern? You're walking back. You might have had a few drinks in you or something like that. And you're walking back and you're joking about something. And you hear somebody vomit in the alleyway. And you're like, oh, God, okay, there's some drunk guy. He's in the alleyway. Let's go figure out who he is.
Party foul. Oh.
You go into the alleyway and you see Kezra.
Oh,
damn it, Kezra.
He's barely conscious. He's like at that point where he's like about to pass out.
Oh.
And when you go to look at him just to kind of like pick him up, you see that it looks like he has in his hand, barely in his hand, it looks like he was holding it and it all almost fell out. He has what looks like a vial of something. It looks like this blackish purple mixture, this alchemical mixture, but it looks like it's glowing. It looks like he was holding this before he kind of passed out.
He said he's not completely passed out.
Not all the way. He's still like sitting up, but he's drifting.
I see that state. It's like like your eyes close slowly, and you're like, oh no, he's about to go.
Nope, he's going. Oh, nope. Okay, he's still
tipped up. Like it just looks like gets next to him. Just make sure he doesn't concuss himself on the pavement.
Yeah. Can I take a look at that ichor he has, or that liquid?
Go ahead and roll Arcana if you have it.
What about crafting?
Crafting will help a little bit.
I have medicine, if I could maybe try to interpret any effect that it might have, but Arcana I can only do untrained.
Yeah, because it's glowing, it's definitely going to be an Arcana. Definitely magical in nature. It doesn't look like a normal a chemical thing that he would have made.
Damn it. That was a good roll too. That was 35 for crafting.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, you look at this and it has some dust in it, but you're not too sure what the magical part is.
Yeah.
So you can tell it's some kind of mixture. It's like a looks like some kind of gross pulp inside of it. It's really, really gross looking. But it, with the glowing part of it, you're like, this would be Kessler who would tell us this shit.
I'm not touching this shit, man.
Yeah.
I don't trust magic like this.
Let's save this for later.
Well, you said it's barely hanging in his hand, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's just going to, take it slowly. Just, Kezra? Kezra, you okay there?
He, like, doesn't... He can't even respond. He's just... Wow. He's, like, really drunk.
No, this happens. All right, buddy. Let's get you a Reuben.
Kezra, wake Reuben. Up. Somebody stole your wallet.
He does. Does he have pants on? No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
Okay, that's fine.
Again with the no pants.
Believe me, eventually the pants will come back. They're enchanted.
His
or
pants.
Something.
His pants are tied around his waist for some reason.
Yes.
Look, there are some battles you just don't. Fight.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we've understood this from the start. Come here, Kezra. I mean, he'll gesture Garn to get the other side of him, we can lead him inside.
Yeah. So you lead him inside, you get him a Reuben, he doesn't really, he might take like a bite, just let it sit in his mouth. Mm-hmm. He's like, alright, he's just gotta go to bed.
I remember being that drunk before. That's not a good time.
Oof. Eventually, you guys shuffle him off to bed, and you guys go to bed for the night. Benson, it's like 1 a.m, and you eventually come back too. There, As you settle into your places at the Thorny Rose Tavern, you see a poster on the wall in each room that reads, "Open Town Hall tomorrow. Ambassador of Nidal, Halika Shadeborn, bring all your questions and concerns. An open forum in the name of peace, prosperity, and friendship." With a caricature of two shaking hands in the center, one of them with a silver bangle and another one with a chain.
Oh, Halika.
Wow, he's really moving up.
Man, look at him go.
He takes his job seriously.
He sure does.
It looks like this might be an important thing for us to attend.
Yes. Well, you can all do the talking, at least for that. I mean, it's just funny with them. I'm just remembering how he got that one. What are those guys called, the blue ones?
Evangelists.
Evangelists. Yeah. Yeah, he just commanded an evangelist to follow him. Like,
that was hilarious, yeah.
Just like, boom, just follow me. Okay, now he's a pencil pusher. That's fine.
Yep.
Benson's just like, cool, cool, cool. I really just came back here for my toothbrush.
Toothbrush and change of clothes.
Leaving so soon, Benson.
You saw the way that woman looked, right?
Yeah.
I didn't want to pry, but it seemed like you knew each other.
Nice. Yeah, I like to think Benson's getting...
See
ya. I just like to think Benson's getting back late. Everyone else is just like Elk and Garn just sitting up in the chairs waiting for him. Like, oh, you were out late. Just
going home so late.
Smoking pipes. Just like...
So the night settles down. Benson grabs his toothbrush and a change of clothes. Everyone else settles into their own room at the Thorny Rose Tavern.
Make sure Kezra's on his side. Just making sure.
Yes, okay. Yes, that's important, yeah.
Can you imagine that's what did Kezra in?
That would be low-key kind of great.
Oh my god, you imagine Jake going, roll 4-2 save.
Roll 4-2, that one.
You choke on your own vomit.
Roll a very important fortitude save.
So you know that the you saw on the poster that it's not happening until early afternoon. Mm-hmm. So you guys have your morning to do whatever you guys want to do. Is there anything you guys want to do before you head to this very important, very large open forum about the trade treaty between Nidal and Contargo?
Did I finish my crafting?
I don't really care.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I want to know what Kesper's crafting.
Did I finish my crafting, or do I need more time?
The stuff you were working on in the forge. Okay. Not yet. So if you want to, you want to go back and start working on that some more.
Well, before that though, because I have the vial, because I took it from Kesra just so he didn't break it by accident. That he's going to hand it to Kesra like first thing in the morning.
What the hell is this?
You had it in your hand last night. You were pretty normally drunk, actually. But didn't want it to break, so I took it for the moment. But you were clutching it like crazy.
Kezra stares at it, he swills it a little bit, and then's like...
Fuck.
And he just, like, puts it in his bag.
It's nothing, it's just something I'm working on.
Just something. Okay. No. Keep your secrets.
It's either a very lovely seasoning oil or purple worm poison.
It's one or the other at this point. I guess, well, I mean, you weren't drinking it, I guess, so that means it's not alcohol. Could be.
Oh, no, God.
What is it?
I love that
I'm curious.
No, it's not alcohol. He wasn't drinking it.
It smells like shit. I don't think it's ready yet.
Oh. Then pray tell, what are you working on? I'm just curious.
He like thinks about it for a second, and then he's just like,
honestly, I made it last night. I barely remember what's in it.
Can I do a perception check to see if he's lying?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead and roll.
Yeah, just for the hell of it. I mean, just for the hell of it.
Your perception's so good.
Fine. What? I'm a ranger. Oh, dude. 17 on die.
God.
36 perception.
You get a sense that he's probably lying to you.
Yeah.
But you also kind of get a sense that he's also sort of telling the truth.
I gotcha.
You get the sense that he's definitely lying about knowing what it is, but he's not lying about knowing what it does.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, yes, the classic half-truth, so I'm not completely lying.
Well, I do wish to know at some point, whatever.
I'll tell you when it's ready.
Ah, wonderful. Are you heading back to the forges today?
Yeah, I need a Reuben and a beer. And then I'm heading over there.
And then, Benson shows up to the Thorny Rose wearing a red polo shirt and black slacks.
God damn.
He's like, who's just the lucky lady?
Didn't even recognize him at this point. Just like, I've never seen him.
I hope our listeners watch Parks and Rec, because that will make no sense.
Oh my gosh.
Yep.
I'm wondering, does Tim get the reference?
I do, yes. Yes, I do, actually.
For our listeners that do not.
Just let them look it up.
Okay, yeah, just look
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah.
Alright. Okay.
So we're going to this public forum.
I have some messages I need to send first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. So you want to do that in the morning?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you get to
I'll just say it like this. He'll walk him over to the Alabaster Academy because he'll go over to see his hopefully lady.
Oh.
Just in the morning. Just like, hey, out for a morning jog. Yep. So yeah.
So while you're walking, you guys are having a conversation. All of a sudden, Elkwood just makes a real sharp 90 degree turn and goes right towards the Alabaster Academy. Yep. And you're like,
all right, I'll see you later. Wait, I need money for the message.
Throws you money, like accurate hunt prey on Garn, just throwing money at him.
10 pounds of gold coins right to the dome.
If I didn't know better, I would say that it did an extra 2d8 precision damage.
God, so that is Taldor is as far away as possible from Ravenel.
Taldor is very far.
Taldor is very, very far.
Thousands of miles.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, here's the thing. From Breach Hill to Cantargo, I think, was like 700 miles. Because I remember looking it up when you guys were thinking about teleporting, and I remember that, oh, that's not going to work. It is too far. are you just paying for a very expensive message spell or something?
I feel like it wouldn't have to be like maybe the most. Like if they had like tiers, like maybe one is faster than the other. I'd probably choose economy, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha.
You
I
get five
you.
Words.
Oh,
that's
my God.
It.
Oh, yeah, that I guess that would be the thing is...
I love you, still alive? Question mark.
Let's see, so five words. It's Garn. Go to mom.
That's it.
That's all I came for. So that's what I said. That's what I said to my wife. I was gonna name drop her, but I mean, I only had five words, so.
So your wife gets a. Is it a letter? Like, what do you in your mind? What's happening?
I go up to the wizard who looks probably overworked, and he's just like next, and I'm like, I need to send a message to Faldemont. Perhaps to the city council. It's supposed to be directed to my wife Fern. Just tell them to tell her it's gone. Go to mom.
It's gone. Spell it.
G A R N.
Mm-hmm. And he looks up, waiting for.
The rest of the letters?
Yeah. All right.
I spell out the. I'm not spelling out the rest of this message.
writes it all out and goes, all right. And then you exchange the money and he goes, will you be expecting a return letter?
No. Because I told in the message says go to mom.
Very well. Next.
Oh, wait, I have one more.
Oh.
I think I'll splurge for the premium and get 10 words.
Oh. 10 words. Big spender here, everybody. Big spender. Big spender.
So Five Kings Mountains, the capital of Five Kings Mountains is...
Highhelm?
Highhelm. I need to send a message to Highhelm in the, I'm just going to make it up, the Southern District. third quadrant, address 899-877 Stone Rock Way.
Got it.
It is for it's for my mother. I'm just going to say, let's say 10 words. I'm going to say, Mom, it's gone. I'm coming home. Hopefully, so is wife. There it is.
Jesus. True poetry.
It's like, hey, just write
did a lot with 10 words, you know what I'm saying? Whew. You've got to do a lot with 10 words. All right, he writes that down. He goes, okay. Any more letters today, sir?
Oh, no, I... That's all. Thank you so much.
All right, next. Some guy goes up. He goes, can I get 3 words? I just 3 words. I'll give you 2. Okay. All right. All right. Write this down. Where money? Okay. So, anything else you guys want to do before you go to the forum?
I think with the money left over, Garney's going to buy himself some bitchin' trousers. Just
okay.
Some pants. Yep. Replace his shirt with something more respectable than I love my girlfriend.
Sure.
I say
sure.
He's still just been walking around this morning. Yeah, that's why the wizard was kind of like looking at him like, is this guy homeless or something? What's he doing?
Can you imagine if Garn goes home with that shirt on?
All this stuff thrown out.
Yeah, right.
Benson will swing by wherever Poppy is currently playing, and he will ask her if she is planning on attending the forum.
She's actually packing up. She's getting ready. She's getting ready to head out. Turns out the troop was like ready to go, and they got a bigger gig somewhere else. Wow. So she's just like,
yep.
Benson, sorry, they're leaving now. If you're going to Five Kings Mountains, I'll see if we can swing by there. I think this is it until next time, Hero.
Benson will give her a kiss and let her go on her way. And he will ask, what is their next location, their next gig?
Their next gig, I pulled up a map of Galarian way after I thought to write that down. they would be going to, what would be the next big city? Because they play big stuff.
Mm-hmm. Small tavern shit.
Yeah.
Going to the Grundlescorn Lair.
They're probably going to Igorian, which is like the next huge major city. So they're making their way southeast.
All right, good.
All right, to the if you look at Cantargo and then you go into Cheliax, it's like the middle lake there in Cheliax. Mm-hmm. Igorian is the major city there,
bro. Agorian is where
Kezra and Adalar met.
Is from.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh man.
Oh. You go say hi to his family.
Oh my God! She plays a song of some of Benson's stuff, and all Adalar shows up in it. Oh my God!
Oh my God!
All right. So, you all get to the town hall.
Wait. I know, I want to interrupt. But actually, he's going to, like, since it was kind of over to Lady Decorus to see her, like,
right.
But yes. Namely to see her thoughts about it as well, just because the whole network that they have going as well.
Mm.
I mean, it's just kind of like one of those things of, like, I'm sure the Bellflower Network and also the, God, I'm blanking on the word, of the organization she runs.
Lacunifex.
The Lacunifex. Like, they definitely are probably like, what's going on with this? Like...
Oh, with the open forum?
Yeah.
You go there and, Milara is already, like, planning on going.
Oh, yeah, figured.
So, yeah. If you ask her, she says that she has full faith that it's strictly just a trade thing. There's been a lot of tension between Nidal. She sort of mirrors some of what Halka Shayborn has said. She's just a bit more blunt than he was, more matter of fact.
Yeah.
So do you and Lady Decor walk down together?
We can.
Okay.
I just don't know if it'd be like, oh, yes. Oh, look at that weird. Or like, you know, just her doing her own thing sort of situation. But
I mean, nobody's going to say anything. If
that's true.
Nobody would.
Yeah, true.
All right. So you guys walk down together. You all end up meeting at the town hall. When you get there, you see a few friendly faces. You see Sir Thorn. You see Larry Longroad, Nolly Peltry, and even Hundi Vosht. Who was the redheaded halfling that you guys saved in the
she owns the coffee house.
The squealer.
He was the guy that let things slip.
Oh,
but yeah.
Oh, that guy.
In the port.
To be fair, he was being tortured pretty heavily.
Yes, he was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were touching him with a hot iron. So
like constantly.
So the town hall has every seat filled, and the walls on the side are occupied with standing attendants. So people want to be here pretty bad. Outside the large doors, people who can't get in spill out onto the street. There are around 200 people inside, and another 100 spilling outside. The crowd of people is cleaved down the middle to make way for a line for people with questions. It's an open forum, so obviously they're making, you know, if you ever see like a debate or something like that, they have like a microphone set up somewhere, so people can come up and ask questions. As you all approach, Sir Thorn sees you guys and he waves over one of the guards, and he says, "These are the friends that fetchling up there was talking about." And prompting the guard to then walk you all through the crowd, and there are four open spots near the front of the podium. While you walk up towards the front, you can hear some of the questions being asked as it's sort of echoing throughout the nice acoustics of the room. And you hear some guys say, "But I don't want to worship the Midnight Lord." And Halika Shayborn is up there. He's like, you will not be required to worship our Lord Zonkuthon. I promise you can continue worship at Iobate or Desna or what about this god? And he goes, I don't even know of that one. You can worship that one. I don't care. And another person comes up and goes, what sort of tax will we need to pay to the Umbral Court? I'll be damned if you can have any of the blood from my children. Taxes between our nations will be in the form of monetary exchange or goods and services. No mention of your children was ever signed into any trade agreements. Your children are as safe as they have always been.
What about the tariffs?
What about the tariffs?
What are we doing to protect domestic manufacturing here in Kandaga?
It's a little topical, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I wish we lived in a world where it wasn't, but goddamn it.
Yeah, he just reaches over a lapel mic. Yeah, roof snipers, take her out.
You hear this woman who's like, oh, what about that ice fiend? It nearly killed me and my entire family. If more of those things are coming around, I don't want our great city to have anything to do with Nidal.
Yeah, yeah, what about
Ice Street? Rubble, rubble, rubble. Didn't Kezra, hang a headless body off the walls or something?
Oh, yeah, that was old news. Come on. This is 24 hours news cycle here, John. We gotta keep recycling the shit.
Halicus, he puts his hands out and sort of like calms everybody, and he goes, "I understand your concern, but that was nothing but a ploy. I'm sorry to say that some person of great evil summoned that fiend. And if one knows anything about devils," and people kind of give him some glares, "they will do anything you tell them to. A local group of heroes, actually." And at this point, he notices you, and he says, "They're right here, in fact. Friends, would you please give your findings after you defeated the Gelugon on Kite Hill?"
I guess Benson is going to be the main guy to speak here.
Please.
Yeah,
please.
Literally everybody in the room just like, woof, and looks at
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Benson will give as much information as he deems safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that the threat, the wizard that summoned it, was chased off. Because we didn't kill that gold wizard, did we?
Oh, we did.
Yeah, we killed in the tower at the school.
Yeah, because remember that was the whole situation with Grimshaw wanting to maybe bring him back.
And yeah, stuff. That's right. Because I wanted to keep him alive to question him, and Elko just got him.
Well, yeah, it was either that or we die. So
I explained all of that. He's dead now. Yada yada. I don't mention that they're probably still slavers in the fucking city.
So you tell the story and people are like shocked, and there's one guy too who's just like,
"Yeah, he was there. No, he's telling the truth. He's telling the truth."
Shocker, the holy paladin tells the truth.
So Halika comes up and he goes, "Thank you all for your questions. Please give us a moment. I will return with a closing statement shortly." And he brings you guys into the a side room. And he goes, "Thank you all so much for coming. I didn't even know if you would be here. I knew you were off doing something down south, right? Whatever's happening. Where's Grimshaw?"
He did not make it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was tragic.
Oh, and remember, he's also a fetchling.
Yeah. Oh.
And he just goes, "Oh." When,
if only he had been any other race than fetchling, he'd be alive right now. You're a weak race.
Fuck Benson.
Goddamn.
The gang finds out Benson is racist.
Yep.
only about Kyle.
Yeah.
He'd be alive if he wasn't a Kyle. Like, whoa.
So
what? Whoa, man.
Dude, what the fuck? So Halicka, he puts his hands over his face, and he just kind of like pulls his face down, just like the stress of that, because he felt the kinship, obviously, with Grimshaw.
They're best friends.
I mean, he might have thought so. And he just he goes, "This his sacrifice won't be in vain. This could aid us in these trade agreements, and perhaps quell some of these fears they're having."
"It's possible.
Would you mind if I used his name? If not, I can just say a dear friend. If that would make you more comfortable. I don't know what sort of things he got into, but
how are we feeling about letting him use the name?"
I would say probably be, I don't know, because Grimshaw was like more secretive than anything else. So, I mean, maybe not having his name being said out loud to, like, an entire congregation.
Yeah.
Because it was, wasn't his group, like, aren't they, I mean, like, they're known, but not, like, super well known?
They're only known to, like, the Bellflower Network and the Coon Effects and stuff that. So, yeah.
Keep it down low, I would say, probably be the best bet.
Yes, I think it would be more appropriate if you did not use his name.
No, that's perfectly fine. So, you can hear people getting fussy outside, and he goes, "All right, let me go back. I will settle this all now." So he comes out, and you guys go out and go back to your seats. "I'm sorry to say that it has come to my attention that a friend, was recently slain while fighting for freedom here in Cantago. I would keep this to myself, but his origin would help illustrate my point. Sir Benson, please tell the people here where he comes from. We're keeping his name secret for certain reasons, but believe me, when Benson...
Benson says he was a... What's the nicer term? Because I know Kyall is not really a...
Kyall is the...
Kyall's the official.
Yeah. He was a Kyall. A worshiper of the Milani.
And so he, as he's pointing at you and the motions to himself, he goes, I am also Kyall. The Midnight Lord would not send one of his children to be sacrificed for something like this. There was something greater here that even he was doing. These trade agreements will help you. They will aid. The Midnight Lord would not sacrifice his own for a silly trade agreement. His purviews are in pain, not necessarily in death. There is nothing for him to gain for his death. You must understand this. There is no pain without a life to sustain it. I realize I may be speaking in such a way that scares you, but sacrifice of one's life would not benefit this. Things are happening here to help. I would never establish trade relations that would endanger your lives or your well-being. You've suffered greatly. Allow us to work to begin a new dawn, filled with peace, prosperity, and friendship. Thank you for your time.
And people obviously stand up and ready to ask more questions, and he just puts his hand up and goes back.
Yes, thank you all so very much. I can't thank you enough. And Sir Thorne comes up, and he's actually got like some tears.
Your battle brother did you proud.
And Sir Thorne just goes, with death comes new life, I suppose. I am I'm off to something on my own, actually. Work is never done, but I thank you all for what you've done, and perhaps I'll see you again when our paths cross. And he makes his way off.
Sure.
So the day sort of continues to carry on. Halika, he offers to get you guys lunch and stuff like that. And you know, he almost feels bad. He feels bad because of the fact that like you guys had like escorted him here, so he was felt a kinship, and all of a sudden Grimshaw's dead for something completely unrelated.
Little did we know. So little did he know we fucking hated him.
Actually, Grimshaw despised him.
I'm like that guy.
So the days continue on. At a certain point, when you guys go down to sleep in the next week, you guys are here for another 2 weeks or something. How much more time do you have, Kesra, of crafting?
For everything we want to do, is only like 5 or 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so right. About a week. So, Garn, let's have another flashback here. Garn, as the time worm flew through you, you felt your entire being crack, and images raced through your mind with such weight and feeling, but there was nothing you could decipher in that moment. In the same way that we try to remember dreams when we wake up, see the tie back now? You kept thinking back to that moment, trying to piece it all together. After days and days of looking into these memories with such purpose, the blurry images began to become very clear. You see yourself on the battlefield of carnage between demons, angels, and men. You swing your weapon at a few and defend yourself for a moment, but the rush of battle quickly dwindles. Rain is falling on the clashing shore. It's dark and hard to see with so much happening, but everyone around you is looking up.
The rain is covering them with a viscous lit red liquid that stains skin, scales, and armor alike. The battlefield combatants stand still with their eyes on a certain point in the sky. You shove your way through to get a better look beyond the demons and taller folk around you, until you finally see it. A suit of iron in the sky is cut in twain and floating against the upper atmosphere. The entire thing is moving almost in slow motion, because it's like that far away when you see, like, you know, planets and stuff moving. The entire thing is moving in slow motion, but both the top and bottom halves move farther away from each other with each passing second. Pieces of the armor begin falling to the ground. In the upper atmosphere, behind this godlike armor, the clouds covering this realm react with the silent heat lightning. It's brilliant and beautiful and revealing. In a few flashes, the silhouette of a mantis can be seen with its massive and brutal claw cleaving through the midsection of this god. A full minute goes by without a word. Every being in this place stands in awe of what they are seeing. Suddenly, one of the fiends, an Asari pit fiend, raises its axe in the air and screams, "Our lord in iron has fallen! No more shall the mortals of this age raise blade against us! Destroy them now!" The battle around you resumes with a brutality not known to any man. Garn, this moment has left you staring in belief. Somehow the war wages around you in silence as you look to the sky at the dead god, your god. You remain untouched for some reason. Pieces of Gorm's armor start floating in every direction, but pick up speed as they collide with the ground. Some figures in the crowd explode into viscera with each impact. One of the shards of iron is hurtling towards you, and for some reason you can't move. The shock of your god, murdered by another, leaves you stuck. This shard flies through your chest and embeds itself in the mud behind you. As you look down at the wound, the whole fist could fit inside. The only pain you feel is a burning, like the burning of a brand. It sears your skin like red-hot molten iron. You scream through the pain, clutching this open hole made by the peace of your god. Each time you start to remember this part of your memory, the pain feels all too real, and you are snapped out of it. There's one thing you take away from this vision. There's one thing you now know. Gorm will die. I'll see you guys next time.
Holy shit.
God. Oh my god. That was so cool. God. What is that called? I can't remember now.
The God's Dream.
Yeah, the God's Dream. It's such a...
Hey there, everybody. You might have heard me talk about Misty Mountain Gaming and their new Cyberlink dice. Well, the good news, I have two bits here. One, they reached enough on their Kickstarter to release a chip, which is a 1D2 die, which is just perfect flavor for the setting. Also, they also have a game coming out, which means you have to buy these dice to play this game with maximum immersion. The game they're coming out with is called Cyberdrive: Enter the Nexus. It is a fast-paced, rules-light cyberpunk tabletop RPG for action-packed storytelling in a digital dream world. If you have not checked this out, find their Kickstarter on their website, mistymountaingaming.com, and make sure, as always, to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for an extra 10% off. I'll see you in the next episode.